With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Book of Job podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Book of Job podcast with me, Tom Verducci, and my good buddy, Joe Madden. Joe, I want to take you down memory lane today. I hope that's okay with you.
Always.
Because I'm going to bring you back to 1982.
Right.
Young Joe Madden, his second year managing in the minor leagues. He's 29 years old, and he gets a gig in the Northwest League with the Salem Angels. Now, why am I bringing that up? Well, today we have a special guest. We have the manager of the Hillsboro Hops in the Northwest League. And by the way, it's only about 50 miles down I-5 from Salem. The connection to Oregon and the Northwest League all these years apart, well, it's a little bit different now because the manager now is Ronnie Gajownik. And Ronnie, thanks so much for joining us. Of course, I was told that your real name is Veronica, but I guess only your mom used that when you needed to do the dishes. Is that true?
Yeah, you know what? Growing up, I used to go bowling a lot, and Veronica didn't fit on there. She goes, hey, why don't we go ahead and use Ronnie? And you know what? It's stuck ever since. But yeah, she only calls me that whenever she is yelling at me to do the dishes whenever I go back home. So I cringe a little bit every single time, you know, I hear Veronica. So if I did that a little bit, that's why. So
how do you say Gajownik? Gajownik?
It's Gajownik.
Gajownik. Is that Polish?
It is Polish. My real last name is actually Gajownik, Gajowzck. But my great-grandfather changed it when I came over to Americanize it. I don't know how American Gajownik is, but you know what? It's better than a Gajownik, I guess.
Well, the similarities continue because I am half Polish also. My mom's side of the family is Klotzek. And so when I saw that, I figured as much. I didn't put together Veronica with Ronnie, but I think that's pretty cool too. And then furthermore, to be situated in Oregon, that year in 1982, we did win the Northwest League title. I had some big leaguers on that team, Mark McLemore being one of the most prominent. Kirk McCaskill was another one, Urbano Lugo. I had a great time up there. It's the weather's, you would think in the Northwest, people always complain, but it's actually pretty good in the summertime. Mm-hmm. But if you have allergies in that neck of the woods, summer allergies are pretty nasty. I thought I was developing asthma up there. But nevertheless, it's a great spot to begin your career. There are so many similarities. I'm very, very happy for you.
See, now, if you like pierogies, then we're definitely kindred spirits then.
I make pierogi.
Oh, my goodness.
I make holubki.
Oh, man.
I got all that stuff in my back. Actually, our restaurant in Chicago was the Madden's Post. We were a fusion between Italian and Polish food. We had to shut her down. And we were making split pea pierogi. And I promise you, the best ever. And do you ever have Mrs. T's pierogi?
No, I actually have not.
Okay, well, that's made in Shenandoah, which is right down the street from my hometown.
Wow.
They're everywhere.
Okay.
Check it out. Mrs. T's. Check it out.
Mrs. T's.
I have had those, Joe. I can vouch for them. Very good. I just can't
very
wait
good.
For the post-game spread at the Hillsborough Hops game, pierogi.
Right.
The players will just
absolutely
going to kill the post-game spread.
Oh, that's sweet. Funny.
Well, Ronnie, I mean, really, congratulations getting, obviously, this historic job managing. It's the first time a female will be managing a high A team. So congratulations. Well deserved. You have to take me back. We'll get into your background, of course, but you have to take me back to the phone call, or maybe it was done in person, when you first found out that this was going to be your assignment for 2023 to be a high A manager.
Yeah. So it happened, I believe it was in October that Josh called me. I was actually out here in Arizona working the Fall League with the Salt River Rafters, and you know, just a normal day cleaning my blinds in my apartment. All of a sudden I get a, you know, call from Josh Barfield, and thinking, oh, geez, what's going to happen? And I wasn't expecting a call and picked it up, and, you know, a little bit of small talk. How's it going? You know, just cleaning my blinds, just a normal day. And he goes, all right, well, we want to go ahead and talk to you about next season. I'm like, okay, sounds good. He's like, so we'd like you to be in Hillsborough. Oh, wait, hold on a second. I'm getting another call. So I'm patiently waiting there for what feels like 5 minutes, gets back on. Hey, Ronnie, you still there? I'm like, yeah, I've been here for an hour. How's it going? He goes, you know, we want you to go ahead and manage up in Hillsborough. And it was shock. It was excitement. And, you know, got off the phone, and my wife looked at me and she goes, so where are you going? And I told her, and she cried for the both of us. So I appreciated that so that I didn't have to do it. So it was a great moment.
That's so cool. And how about the first phone calls that you made after that?
Who was the first phone call? Well, I really wanted to tell my parents because, you know, they've just supported me through everything growing up of playing softball, playing baseball, college and whatnot. And they were actually flying in the next week for my mom's birthday. And so I wanted to keep it for them because I wanted to see their face in person. And we took them out to lunch and you know, told my dad, you know, hey, you guys going to come up and visit AJ and I up in Hillsborough? And they both stop mid-bite, look at me, go, is that where you're going to be next year? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, hey, Dad, you got any, you know, when you're at the games, can you just make sure, you know, I'm in the right spot when I'm in the third base coaching box? And my dad goes, and actually my mom caught it before my dad. And my dad started tearing up. My mom started tearing up. So it was a really cool moment to be able to do that in person. But to be honest with you, I kind of blacked out a little bit. So I don't really know who I called after that. I really didn't tell anybody until a couple of weeks ago. So I felt like a little bit of a ninja and spy the past couple of months living incognito. So but yeah, it was good.
Just one question for me now that you've gotten this position, and actually rather rapidly or quickly, was this part of your aspiration to eventually become a minor league manager? Was this just kind of like literally out of left field? Or is this something that you really had in your mind's eye that you wanted to do eventually, and that maybe it happened sooner than you thought? Or just what were your thoughts going into the, not just into this season, into your career as a baseball coach, a professional baseball coach / manager now?
Yeah, no, you know, growing up in college or in high school, they always have you do your 5-year plan. And ever since, if I look back at my 5-year plan, there's no shot I would be where I'm at today. So for me, as simple as it is, I just like to be happy. And, you know, as long as I know that I'm keeping my head down and I'm working hard, then I'm going to go ahead and be where I need to be. But it was definitely out of left field. And, you know, growing up, there weren't really, you know, there weren't female coaches on the field for professional baseball or even managers. And so, and, you know, a dream job, it's something that you can achieve. And that's something growing up, I never thought that I could. So I never really thought about it, to be honest with you. So I wanted to work hard, and, you know, I wanted to show who I was and what I could bring to the table. And this is what was on the table when Josh gave me that call.
Cool. I actually wrote down your what is your 5 to 10 year plan? And you actually just dropped that on me right there. I mean, just as, just again, drawing parallels. I mean, it's weird. You're saying things that I'm thinking I've written down already, and we're both Polish and you like pierogies too. It's just, as I always went through this thing, I mean, for me, because I never played in the big leagues, I was a minor league player and a scout and all that kind of stuff, a coordinator, everything. But I always wanted to be in the major leagues by the time I was 40. That was kind of like my goal. And like Tommy said, I started at pretty much the same age that you did. Now that you're, I know it's kind of quick and maybe you haven't had a chance to really reflect, but now that you're there, I mean, is it time to, in a sense, readjust your goal setting as you move it forward? And again, I'm not trying to jump the gun, but as you're saying right now, to have an absolute goal and direction, and it just appears to be that's who you are, moving down the road is, would you consider maybe moving into like a 5 or 10 year mental plan right now? Is that something you've thought about already?
That is not something that I've thought about just yet, but I think that, I don't know, for me, I don't really like to, and I don't view this as being lazy, but I don't really like to have a timetable. I think okay. that, in my opinion, from what I've experienced with my life, you know, everything happens for a reason, all of the successes, all of the failures, you know, it's molding me into who I need to become to then achieve that goal. Whatever that goal is. But I think that, you know, I was watching an interview and they were talking about asking people, you know, if they think that there's going to be a female manager in the big leagues and within the next 10 years. And there's a lot of people who are saying yes. So the fact that that is being said by people who have been in this game or broadcasted on this game or scouted in this game for a long time, I think that, which is great to hear, that that can be on a female's 5 to 10 year plan. And that's something that you couldn't have said even 2-3 years ago. But the fact that you're even asking me that question now shows the progress that if you do deserve to be here, that you can be here.
I was kind of insinuating all that, but again, well done. That's right on the money.
See, we're on the same level right now. We're on the same wavelength.
It's kind of weird. I'm getting freaked out here a little bit. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I definitely would sign on to that possibility. There's no question about it. I say, why not? If you're skilled enough, there's nothing to stop you. As you know, Ronnie, if we brought up that idea 10 years ago, and you would, most people, and maybe probably even you might have said no, because that possibility didn't exist. I wanted to take you back to when you were at South Florida, and you told somebody, my main goal is to be a head coach, talking about softball at the time while you're playing softball at South Florida, retire and then work with little kids out in Yellowstone or Yosemite or anywhere out west.
Yeah.
Plans change.
Yeah, plans definitely do change. So, you know, I'd still like to do that. That might be, you know, 40 years down the road that I'll be in Yosemite and whatnot. But yeah, it's funny when you look back at, you know, just how many different paths that you can take, you know, just like you're trying to get up to a mountain, you know, there's different trails that you can take, but they all lead to the same spot and you don't necessarily have to be on the same path the whole entire time.
That's awesome. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, I'm going to ask Ronnie about the challenges that she faces going forward and where she got this baseball bug to begin with. Back in a minute.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Book of Joe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Book of Joe.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome back to the Book of Joe podcast. Our guest, Ronnie Gajownik, the manager of the High A Hillsboro Hops in the Arizona Diamondbacks system. And Ronnie, I asked about getting the baseball bug. It sounds like you had it at a very young age. I believe your dad played college baseball.
Yeah.
Tell me about your love of this game and where it came from.
Yeah. So oddly enough, my parents are actually from the suburbs of Chicago. I grew up loving Aurelio's Pizza. I had an Aurelio's Pizza box on my wall growing up. And my mom was a White Sox fan, but at the time I was a daddy's girl. So I actually grew up a Cubs fan. And, you know, just ever since, my dad would take me out of school growing up in Central Florida. There's a lot of spring training complexes around that area. So he would take me out of school and, you know, we would go to baseball games and we would just talk baseball, play baseball. Even when I had switched over to softball, he would still want me to swing a wooden bat. I'd be hitting baseballs. And then just kind of throughout my years, just, you know, growing up a Cubs fan. And I actually took my dad to a Cubs and Cardinals game for his birthday one year. But it's just kind of always been in me because, you know, just being able to watch those high level athletes and just his passion growing up of playing with it and to be able to share that bond with him. It was a good time. And the fact that it's led me here, I'm really appreciative of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us about your entry into professional baseball and where that door first opened or even the idea came to you that you could and wanted to pursue it.
Yeah, so it actually happened during COVID. USA Baseball and MLB Baseball, they put on different Zooms bringing in ex-coaches, scouts, umpires, analysts, just to come in and talk to the alumni of the Women's National Baseball Team. So they brought in, we were kind of doing all these talks and I was just asking a bunch of just different questions. And I didn't realize until after the fact how great my questions were when Kim Ng and Liz Benn, who's now the director of Major League Operations with the Mets, and obviously everybody knows Kim Ng, they emailed me asking me if I had any interest in going into baseball. And, you know, earlier that year, I'd obviously seen the push notification from ESPN in regards of Rachel Folden getting the job, but I didn't really think that that was a path for me, or did I know how that path was to be created. But through that email, I thought, oh, yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. And so my resume was sent out. I did a bunch of USA and MLB camps virtually, and then also, too, when that was done, actually in person. And with my resume being sent out, I got some phone calls and some interest from, I believe it was three different organizations. And my conversations with the Diamondbacks were absolutely great. You know, it's just kind of just conversations you have when you sit down at a bar and you're just kind of getting to know somebody, see what they're about. And it was just kind of through those conversations that an offer was extended to me in regards of a player development intern. And, you know, I was pretty happy at UMass, but I wanted a little bit of a change. And I also, too, want a little bit of a challenge and to see how things were done in professional baseball. So I looked at my wife. I'm like, hey, you good with selling our place here and going over to the West Coast? And she said, let's go ahead and do it. So that opened my door and off we started driving to Arizona.
So now you're in Arizona and spring training is right around the corner. When is your minor league group report? Do you have a date on that? I'm sure you have a date on that, right?
Yeah, so early camp, I believe staff is reporting on the 15th. Okay. And then spring training, I believe, is on the 7th, I want to say.
Okay. I'm just asking that question because for me, I spent, especially that first time through, you spend a lot of time thinking How am I going to address my team the first time? What is the message going to be with my team the first time through? Mm-hmm. And in the situation that you are in right now, have you even gotten to that point where you, I'm a big planner, I'm a big organizer, all that kind of stuff. Have you gotten to that point now where you thought about what your address may sound like, look like to your team the first day you get to stand in front of them?
Yeah, no, I think, so I guess, yeah, we are a little bit similar as I've already started writing down a little bit of the values of what we want in Hillsborough. And I think, it comes down to being able to create that relationship with them, not as a player, but as a person. And for them to know that we're not here for them, that we're here with them. We're with them day in and day out. And I think true being able to, you know, you can't truly create progress until you tell the truth and you're able to look in the mirror and see where you're at, where you're, you know, where your pros are at, where your cons are at. So to be able to pinpoint, hey, these are the things that we need to get better at, and to be vulnerable, because again, if you're not okay with looking at failure and figuring out how to get better, then you're just going to be stagnant. So showing, hey, we're here, we're all going to be vulnerable here. We're going to look to see how we can get better. And we're here with you to get you better.
Just one more question regarding that. That's a really good response. As you've gone through the ranks, as you came up as a player and as a coach in the minor leagues, you have what you consider to be some strengths and maybe some areas that you're looking for to improve? Because I know as a young coach, I did. I mean, coming out of it, getting my first opportunity, I thought I was decent as a hitting coach. Maybe I was decent with catching and those kind of things. And, of course, running a game is something completely different until you actually get to do it. Where you're going to be standing in a third base coaching box. You don't have to look into the dugout for the sign, though.
Yeah.
You get to make it up on your own, and that's kind of a neat gig to have, too.
Yeah.
But do you, at this point in your career, do you feel like you have some really – I'm talking about fundamental strengths as a teacher, things that you really feel good about?
Mm-hmm.
And conversely to that, are there areas that you're looking to improve? As an example, for me, I always wanted to become a better middle infielder instructor, so I really hung out with the middle – the really solid middle infielders as I was moving through. I felt good as a catching instructor. So where do you think your strengths are, and where are you looking that I might need to rally around the right kind of people to get more information?
For me, I'm a very good, in regards of personality, a very good communicator.
Okay.
Paying attention and being, like you said, around the right people to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing, like you said, you can do so much to prepare, but sometimes you have to gain experience by gaining experience and actually being in the trenches and being in that third base coaching box. So for me, I would probably say a little bit more in regards of the hitting aspect of it. In regards of infield, I feel pretty confident in me as a player. Also too, what I've already picked up from some of the, some of my great teammates here with the Diamondbacks. So just being able on how to manage the game in regards of also to just the pitchers. I've been around them a little bit in regards of my first year with Hillsborough and really having to work with the track man, work with being in the bullpen every single day when the guys were throwing pens and, you know, seeing a little bit of the inner workings. But just being able just to truly manage that game. And, you know, I've already been talked to one of our guys this morning, Arnado. And then also to D. Gardner, it's just more so surrounding myself with the managers and saying, you know, what they've learned and what they think that I also too can get better at.
I think it's wise to hang around with the pitching as much as you can. I mean, that's the thing. If I had an advantage in the sense having been a catcher, but as a manager, you know, making a lineup is one thing. That's not that big of a deal. You're going to be able to make your lineup daily. And within the minor league situation like that, there's going to be a lot of stuff already done in advance. You know, you've got to play. You're not going to pinch hit for anybody. This guy's going to throw four innings and throw 75 pitches, et cetera. But as you continue to advance, to me, the thing that really helps a lot and that could really help set you apart would be how well you handle your pitching staff and how much you understand them. And I'm fully assured that you have a really good or strong feeling about that. But to me, as a young manager, that's really important as you work your way through the ranks, because after all, by the end of the season, it's like having a quarterback in football. You have to have pitchers in baseball to win, and to hang around with that group, whether it's coaches or actual players or pitchers, it's really important to understand them.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that nugget of advice, so I'm going to go ahead and write that on down.
Well, it sounds like you have a good staff with you in Hillsborough. You've got, on the younger side, I think they're all in their late 30s, but plenty of playing and coaching experience, Gabby Hernandez, Ty Wright, Ronald Ramirez, so I'm sure you know some of these guys from the year you spent in Hillsborough, Ronnie. Give me an idea of your connection with your staff heading into 23.
Yeah, so I've only worked a little bit with them. So they weren't there in Hillsboro the year that I was there. But being able to work with them right now during Instructs, I'm actually going and getting dinner with our hitting coach, Ty Wright, tonight to Oregano's, which is a close second to Aurelio's. So
it's good stuff. Oregano's is outstanding.
Yeah, it's great. 100%.
It's outstanding.
I cannot wait. I'm already ready to eat. We're meeting at 5 o'clock. I'm like, I can't wait till 7 o'clock for this. So we're meeting at 5. So kind of just taking each of them out to dinner individually and, you know, wanting to see who they are as people and what their expectations are for each of their groups. And then also too, just kind of where they also want to get better at. So I think it's just creating a cohesive unit and just understanding how everybody operates and ticks.
That's so cool. And Joe, I'm sure you relate to that, getting to know someone.
Yep.
No place better than over a good meal.
Kitchen somewhere, man, or a nice restaurant. For me, it's some good food and a glass of wine. I've done the same stuff, Ronnie. I mean, you're right. I think your approach is right on the money. It's going to serve you well. And on top of that, you're going to have a great meal and possibly a couple nice cold beers or a great glass of wine. And let me ask you this, too, this, as you're talking about all this, because you have to have had this. Mentors or coaches or managers or from your past, whether it's people you were directly related to, as a softball player, whatever, or just observationally, professionally, as a kid growing up, that poster on your wall, whatever. Who in your mind's eye has been a great influence on you or for you, whether it's a mentor directly, somebody that you've known, or coaches or managers it doesn't just have to be baseball in general.
Yeah.
Who really stands out to you?
So the first two who come to mind in regards to softball would be Kevin Fagan. We actually won a national championship with him the year before I went to college, and also to Ken Erickson, who is my coach at the University of South Florida. And I think the biggest thing, you know, you're always gaining, as a player, always gaining knowledge of, you know, the fundamentals of it. Hey, you're going to go ahead and look for this. Hey, in this situation, it's this, but it's more so how they went about their business and how they carried themselves, of how professional they were in regards of the relationships and the questions that they asked. So the way that they carried themselves, those are the two big thing, or that's the big thing that I got from them. And then also too, in regards of now being in baseball, a really big mentor for me is Shane Lukes, who's now one of our pitching coordinators here with the Diamondbacks, who I worked with happily for 2.5 years. He's probably happy to get rid of me now, but he'll definitely be visiting a lot. So, but Shane Lukes, he's a great mind, on and off the field, who he is as a person. And, you know, you go back to the vulnerability of things and being able to look in a mirror, and, you know, a lot of people jokingly call him the truth. And, you know, you got to be able to tell the truth. You can't just beat around the bush, because if you're just beating around the bush, then you're not actually advancing who you are as a person. So I would say that those three are the first three that pop into my mind.
But listen, if I tell you the truth, you might not like me for a week or 10 days, but if I lie to you, you're going to hate me forever. That's really what it comes down to.
Exactly.
You have to establish relationships, because the next thing that occurs is that trust begins to flow. And once that occurs, then you could actually exchange ideas, because unless you have a relationship and you trust one another, the exchange of ideas just becomes a pushback contest. I'm not going to agree with that person. I'm going to stick with what I think. I'm never going to concede. I will not negotiate unless you have trust built up with the relationship. And eventually, when you get all those things in order, now you could have the really strong differences of opinion, and it could work. And then when you get to that point where you could have a strong discussion, argument, whatever you want to call it, diverse opinions, and at the end of that discussion come back and walk out on the field and everybody's on the same page, on the same team, that's pretty cool. But those things have to be in order: relationship building, trust, the exchange of ideas before your constructive criticism can flow both ways. And when that occurs, now you got something. Now you got something, because I don't want people to agree with me all the time. That's the last thing I want. It's very boring. I want to be challenged constantly as a manager, from what I'm hearing. Ronnie, it sounds like you want to be challenged constantly too. And that's the only way we get a chance to grow. And that's one of the, not one of that, that's the primary thing I've done in each city that I've gone to, is those different steps in order to get on the same page with the group and then enact change, build culture, become the Rays, become the Cubs, whatever. All those things have to be in order first.
Yeah, no, it's again, it's just crazy to think about. You know, I never really thought that I was going to be in a role like this because I never saw it. And the fact that now little girls who come down to spring training, or, you know, they're watching their little brothers play baseball and they see, you know, Olivia Pichardo, who's playing at Brown, and they're saying, oh, hey, if my brother's playing, then, you know, can I play baseball too? So the fact that now this option is open for them, and it's, you're not going to get, you know, you might still get some people who are, no, you shouldn't do that. But there's going to be a lot more people who are saying, you know what, you can, because she's doing it and she's doing it and she's doing it over there. So the more that we're able to build on that base, it's just going to be getting larger and larger. It's going to be second nature now. It's going to be normal. It's not going to be the first. It's not going to be this or that. It's just going to say, okay, let's go ahead and do that.
And we're going to take a quick break right here, and we get back. We're going to play one of our favorite games. Stick around.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Welcome back to the Book of Job podcast. And of course, this podcast, if you're enjoying this, you will certainly enjoy the book, the namesake book, the Book of Job. And Ronnie, we do this segment with all of our guests. We think that when you pick up the Book of Job book, there's something interesting, informative, educational even, on every page of the book. And to prove it, we ask our guests to pick a number between 1 and 368, the pages in the book. And we'll take a little dive into the book to see what it brings us. So you're on the spot here to pick a number between 1 and 368.
Well, I actually have this. I have this book, and I was actually going to ask Joe if it's any good, if I should keep it or return it. So this will be perfect then. So I'll see. Let's go ahead and do. Let's do number 34. How about that?
Number 34. Is that your number?
Yes, it actually is.
And is there a history behind that?
Growing up, I really loved Kerry Wood. So I wasn't a pitcher, but really loved the way he operated, the way he held himself. So number 34 is what it was.
He's a great dude too. That's awesome.
Well, this is appropriate because we're talking about managing in the minors, and you know, Joe has learned from a lot of good ones, and sometimes you learn things that you don't want to do as a manager from managers. So you pay attention to those things. And Joe, this involves Moose Steubing.
My man.
Remember Moose Steubing?
Absolutely.
Okay. He was at this point in the minors when Joe was with him. Moose was 39 years old. He toiled mostly in the minors. His entire major league career consisted of five hitless pinch hit appearances for the 67 Angels. As Steubing liked to say, 17 days of coffee, but I didn't get a donut. He later joined the Angels as a scout. The 1976 gig with the Quad City Angels was his first as a manager. He insisted his players be on time. Players even a minute late for the team bus were left behind. Keep a spanking clean clubhouse and never forget that he was the boss. There's one of me and 25 of you, Steubing told his players. So you better get to know me rather than me get to know you. How about that, Ronnie? You think times have changed a little bit?
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I will say in regards of being on time, for me personally, I think the best currency you can give someone is your time. You know, you can get back money, you can get back clothes, you can get food, but time is something that you literally can never give back. So for me, time is very important to be on time. So for that, okay, now I might be getting a call from Josh Barfield if I leave our starter behind. So I'd like to keep my job and see, you know, what I can do this season. So that probably won't be happening. But no, I think in today's time, back in the day when I was growing up playing, if my coach told me to put a bucket on my head and go run a mile, I would say, I'd be like, all right, which bucket? Put on my head, and I would just start running. But now you can't do that, you know, and I think that that's also kudos to players taking ownership of their own careers into their own paths. So I think that that's something that has definitely changed.
Yeah, we didn't agree with him, by the way. Me and my roommate, Don Lyons, we just could not believe that came out of his mouth. Moose is no longer with us, but my buddy Doc, he was a graduate of Gonzaga, first baseman, great guy, he passed away, but we were incredulous when Moose said that to us that particular day. Unbelievable.
It kind of, Joe, I know we talk about this in the book, you know, as someone that you grew up in that kind of Vince Lombardi era, right?
Yeah.
Where
mm-hmm.
that was the paradigm of how you were a leader. It was very tough. It a lot of times relied on negative motivation. And Ronnie, I'm curious your take on this to see, you know, dealing with players today. And I've talked to Dusty Baker about this as well, and he's certainly adapted to this different kind of way of teaching and leading, that he said players are not going to respond to negative motivation. So what are the kind of things you've learned about keeping your players motivated and what works, maybe what doesn't work?
Yeah, you cannot coach out of fear. We had a men's performance session a couple of days ago, and talking about the dark passenger and kind of that, you know, that negative devil on your shoulder telling you all those bad things. And there's an anonymous poll of, you know, what are some things that your dark passenger says to you? And people were saying, you know, I can't swing the bat. I don't know how to play baseball. I shouldn't be here. And, you know, again, this is a huge game of failure. So they're already their worst enemy between their ears. They don't need someone externally going after them and, you know, coaching them out of fear. And I think it's more so of allowing that vulnerability again to succeed and also to fail, because when you fail, that's where you see where you're at and where you can get better at.
I could just say amen. I agree with all of that. Right on.
Great. Well said, Ronnie. This has really been a pleasure. It's easy to see why Josh Barfield and the whole Diamondbacks organization has such confidence in you. And hopefully our listeners feel that as well. I can't wait until you bring home the Northwest League Championship the way that Joe Maddon did back in 1982.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. But just get that done this year. We'll figure out something at the end of the season. Absolutely.
Hey, how about that? Hey, if I win, you gotta cook me up some of your split pea pierogies. How about that?
Deal. I was just gonna say, do you live in Arizona in the wintertime too?
No, I actually live down in Florida, about a little bit north of Vero Beach. We can figure something out.
Okay, a nice Polish dinner. That's the deal.
All right, sounds perfect. Sounds great.
Awesome, awesome. Best wishes. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Well, Joe Maddon, I thought Ronnie Gajownik was super impressive. I'm so glad she's got this opportunity now, since it's all about performance, right? She's broken through a ceiling here, and I have no doubt she's going to do a terrific job.
Yeah, confident, gregarious, really confident. Self-confident in what she has to say. And I like that a lot. Even with the lack of experience in the game itself, professional baseball wise. I think she's going to be just fine because she is. She's straightforward. She's really well thought out. I can imagine she's highly organized, and she's full. She's Polish, so I think that matters to me also. So I really enjoyed that conversation a lot. I thought she's on top of things, man. She's going to have a nice career.
Yeah, and I honestly think, Joe, I don't know how you feel about this, it probably will be inside of 10 years we do see a major league manager who's a woman.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even rule out the possibility of a pitcher or a position player in the major leagues. I don't know what the time frame is, but again, why not? And what we're doing now is we are encouraging more young women to follow that dream, and it becomes now something that's real. Even more than the dream, it becomes something that's possible.
Yeah, I didn't want to put words in her mouth. That's why I asked her like the 5 or the 10 year plan, because I think if you get your foot in the door like she has, and as she goes through the season, maybe into the next couple seasons, I think it'll become more fully implanted within her that I really want to do this, or maybe I just like to be stay as a coach or a minor league manager, maybe as a major league coach. But she's the kind of person, she's the one. I mean, the young lady, Rachel, they're definitely at the forefront of this. And it should take at least 10 years. I would think that's about the right number to understand and really hone your craft to be able to become a major league manager with the experience necessary, everything about it. So I think a 10 years is about right. And I think less than that would be kind of like an expedited form, which I don't know what's going to happen. But she definitely has the chops mentally, man. She's got the chops mentally. She'd be wonderful in front of the press on a daily basis. There's no doubt in my mind. It's just about understanding the game completely and how she relates to her players, which is really going to set her path, I think.
Absolutely. Very, very impressive. Joe, you got something to take us out of this edition of the Book of Joe?
Yeah, I'm going back to my boy Ernie Hemingway. I read this the other day, and it's just something that I think that people of my age, I'll be, 49, 69 being a new 49 in February. But Ernie said, no, that is a great fallacy, the wisdom of old men. They do not grow wise. They just grow careful or cautious. And that was awesome, because the point is, man, at whatever age you are, do not grow careful, do not grow cautious. Just keep pushing the envelope.
Keep growing. Hey, I never knew you and Ernie were tight. That's pretty cool.
Well, what I want to do is at some point, my van's almost done. The 676 is almost done. Hopefully it is in the back of my mind just to get in it, take 10 all the way down the southern route, end up down in Key West and just go hang out at his pad a little bit and soak it up. I mean, if you ever been to his house in Key West with all the cats hanging out and stuff, it's...
I have. Were they like that? They have different kind of paws or something?
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah, one has exactly something crazy. But they just sit there, and they're not. You're not permitted to move them or get upset with them. They rule the roost, actually. So I, now that I become more of a Hemingway fan, I think at some point I need to take the van down there and just hang out, and see where that takes me. Those thoughts take me, but. Everything, I follow him on Twitter. There's a Twitter follow for Hemingway, and there's a lot of really good nuggets. And I just picked this one up the other day.
Awesome. We'll see you next time, Joe.
All right, brother. Have a great night.
The Book of Joe podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.